5 Face-Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
And this is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world ranking of everything. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Today we will be ranking the top 5 movie musicals of all time.
It's coming right up after this.
There's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the top 5 Face-Off. Actual facts. It's the top 5 Face-Off. The facts are exact. Top 5 Face-Off. Top 5 Face-Off. Official world ranking. What's next? You decide.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Or even good night to all of our rankers. Welcome to any new listeners, and welcome back to our regulars. Today we, as discussed, are going to be reviewing our top 5 musicals, but we can't just dive straight into that because we're British. So What's the weather been like, Squirrel?
Well, hello, rankers. The weather has been very nice. It's apparently meant to rain today. There has been no rain today. There was a tiny bit of rain yesterday, but it didn't stop me barbecuing. Oh, no. It's been lovely. So, No complaints about the weather.
Yeah, same at this end. It's just been delightful. All the cherry blossoms around our way have come out, and there's this one absolute monster cherry tree, and it is bright pink. It's the kind of thing that you'd see in travel magazines in Japan. It's outstanding. So that's been wonderful. So, yay, the weather.
Straight in with this, Hurst. Do you know what's been gripping my shit?
What's that?
Well, you're perhaps wondering why I'm not at work.
Oh, well, not especially because you're normally not at work when we do this.
Well, that's true, but I was meant to be at work today and I am not at work because on my way to work, I drove my 2004 Mercedes 500 up the road. Fucking pothole the size of a crater, Hurst, decided it was going to wipe out my goddamn front tyre.
Shitting potholes. We had that on our 2014 Mercedes CLS shooting brake.
Oh, I do love a shooting brake.
That cost us a couple of hundred quid to get a new tyre on, and it's dented the rim and the trackings out on it. All things that need to be fixing because of the stupid council and the stupid potholes.
Stupid potholes, right? And I, because obviously I'm a skilled engineer, pull into a handy bus stop, handy-ish, I had to drive further than I wanted to with a flat goddamn front tyre. Do you think my space saver had any air in it, Hurst? Have a guess.
Based on the way this conversation is going, I'm going to suggest it didn't.
Did it? Fuck. So the nice RAC man had to come out. Vince, the RAC man, shout out if you're listening.
What up, Vince?
Arrived within 15 minutes.
That's good. That is decent. Well played, Vince.
Mm. And shout out to work as well, who were pretty much unconcerned and said, oh well, see you tomorrow, I guess. So there we are. But yeah, potholes, for fuck's sake, just fix them, you idle twats. How much council tax do we pay? Fuck off, do it. What about you? Well, I calm down.
First of all, before I tell you what's been gripping my shit, I came to a storming realisation this week. You may recall a little while ago, someone sent round the absolutely on the money meme of being English, any noun can become pejorative if said with a sufficiently clipped tone and enough disdain, which is absolutely true.
Yes.
Well, I have come up with one of my own.
Okay.
Which so far works. It's about things that grip my shit or boil my piss. Or grind my gears, I realised that anything can be made to sound like it gets on your nerves if you say whatever is verbing my noun.
Right. Catching my nose.
It's really catching my nose this week.
It's really catching my nose at the moment. Hey, you're not wrong.
So I just started writing down a couple just to see how well it worked. It's really cluttering my closet. It's really scratching my paintwork, cheddaring my cheese, churning my chocolate. It's really flipping my pancakes. And it works brilliantly. So I'd be really keen to hear some of the best ones from the rankers, if they can come up with some outstanding verb my noun, getting on my nerves alternatives. Might even use one next week.
Hey, you never know. Verb our nouns.
What's been cheddaring your cheese this week? So there we go. It's kind of what's been going on, but I'll tell you what has been flipping, scratching my paintwork this week.
Slapping my tits.
Yeah.
Crippling my nips.
I'll tell you, I've been slapping my tits this week.
Give it to me.
Something that's been getting on my nerves for a little while. You know when you have to put your debit card into the machine and put your PIN in these days, like when you're spending more than £100. A bit old school, but you have to do it sometimes. And you put in your PIN and you get it exactly right. Mm. And the machine says, PIN okay. Fuck off, machine. That was better than okay. That was spot on. That was a fucking first from Oxford. I got it 100% right. Should say, nice one or perfect PIN. Just says, PIN okay.
When you get it right in Italy, the little machine says, numero selecto perfecto.
There you go. I mean, if they can get numero perfecto selecto
right
on a decto.
Almost.
Why the hell did we only get PIN okay? It's not an acceptable.
PIN okay, mate.
Yeah, try harder, guys. Make me feel good about remembering my PIN.
All right.
How's that encouraging me to get it right in the future?
Well, it's encouraging you to get it right by allowing you to spend your money.
Well, still, there's, I'm a bit needy. I like to have some attention, and I like to be told when I'm doing good work.
Excellent finger work.
Yeah.
P.S. You're looking great today.
Yeah. Handsomely done.
Flawless.
Yeah, flawless. I'd love that. Right. It would make me smile, but they just go, okay.
All right. Don't know anyone that makes these machines. We need to let them know. Malks, machine-making Malks.
Or Malks that know about machine-making.
Deal with it. Actually, literally, Malk. Malk is involved with this somehow. Malk, get Malk in.
Yeah, Malk, get this sorted. If we can get some kind of petition from all the rankers, we could get as many as 50 or 60 votes in front of Parliament. They'd have to do something.
Oh, yeah. Can we do potholes first?
Yeah, we should do that first.
All right. Cool. Deal.
Anything been making you feel old this week?
Right now, Hurst, it's happening literally as we speak, as this recording has already been interrupted once by the arrival of the plumber that's here to fix some shit in my house. And now I don't know if he can hear me or not, so I'm going to talk a bit quieter. Let me just move into the mic and talk quieter. I think he's 12. Like, so young. So young. Very big van for such a young person. What? Plumbers are older than me. They're definitely older than me. Always.
They definitely are. Or at least in the same ballpark of 40s. You can't be under 40. You certainly can't be a teenager and a plumber, right?
He might be.
Or is he actually in his 30s and we just don't recognise what young people look like anymore? Anyway, so yeah, what's been making me feel old? Just yesterday morning, I woke up with labyrinthitis, which gives you all the worst parts of being drunk without any of the good bits.
Like the drinking?
Yeah, and the being merry and hanging out with your mates. Just waking up in the morning and not being able to sit upright first time. Because your brain's spinning and then you fall back down again. And then you walk everywhere around the house like a drunken lunatic, staggering. I had to butt slide my way down the stairs yesterday because I didn't feel safe walking them.
Why has it got that name? What's the labyrinth is kind
of... I think it's something to do with the inner ear has like a labyrinth thing in it. So.
Oh. All right.
Biology Malks, we're going to need your help.
Dr. Malks, deal with the problem. Fix Hurst.
Yeah, Dr. Malk, talk us through why it's called labyrinthitis. But anyway, yeah, it gave me pretty horrific motion sickness after a while as well, so I had to take a motion sickness tablet.
Ooh. All right, rankers, send your get well cards to P.O. Box Hurst. I don't know how P.O. boxes work.
It made me feel old because I was doddering around and then in the night I'd obviously slept funny and quite hard because I'd take these motion sickness things and I woke up and I was in agony. My back hurt so much. So combine that with dizziness and trying to get to the toilet in the middle of the night because obviously being old, I have to go to the toilet in the night. I mean, in fairness, I did go to bed at 7 o'clock, so.
Jesus. But you were ill, so that's fine. It's not because you're an old man.
No, I never go to bed before 8:30. I mean, 9 is the real cutoff, but if I've got a good excuse, I'll go to bed at 8:30 if I can. Anyway, so that's what's been making me feel old. The fact that I was walking like a freaking arthritic old pensioner. No offense to arthritic old pensioners.
No, top 5 arthritic old pensioners. Let's know, Patreons.
I suppose we should probably get on with it. We should probably tell any new listeners what it is we do and why we do it.
Oh, yeah. We normally do that at the beginning, but then I started talking about weather instead, didn't I? Oh, well, welcome to Top 5 Face-Off, brand new rankers. This is the official world ranking of everything. What happens is that Hurst and I rank a random subject chosen by our Patreons. One of us is correct. You go to our website, top5faceoff.co.uk, and vote for your winner. And that person and that person's list becomes the official ranking of that subject. And last week, Hurst, we did reboots and remakes. Do you want to find out how people voted?
I really do. It's an intriguing one because obviously my throwing the crow in at 4 will have put some noses out of joint. But then you did choose 2 video games, which are fairly niche. So it could go either way.
Let's find out together, Hurst. I say that, of course, I already know. A couple of the comments first, as always. Dalfaz says, apologies to Hurst. but he wears the crow like an anchor around his neck. Shocking decision. And then another one from Mandy98. Hello, Mandy. The crow. Is Hearst pulling a late April Fool's?
People didn't like the crow, huh?
Well, let's see if Mort talks about something else. Astonishing stuff. Picking the standout examples of wrongness. Gritty, character development, chemistry, realistic, wonderful. Were drugs taken before recording Hearst?
I think everyone else was just watching it wrong, like hoping it was going to be like the original crow.
You hear that, Rankers?
I think that's what must have happened.
Hearst is telling you you're wrong.
No, I'm saying you're watching it wrong. Watch it properly next time.
Ready for the results, Hers?
I am.
You got 13. It's not looking good.
It's not.
It's another spanking, Hurst. I got 21. Oh,
in fairness, we did go in quite late this week. We were a couple of days late on delivering. I think that's
the reason, do you think?
Those extra 7 votes would have been coming through on Wednesday and Thursday normally.
Yes, an extra 7 votes. You'd have still lost, of course, because I got 21 and you got 13.
8 votes.
Yeah, no, 9 to win.
Those extra 8 votes, and then AI could have told us.
AI would have sided with you. Anyway, so the official ranking of reboots / remakes is in. It is Ocean's 11 at number 5, Resident Evil 2, Final Fantasy 7 Remake, Battlestar Galactica, and number 1, Mad Max Fury Road. It's official.
Fair play. Congratulations on back-to-back. You remain the rank king. I remain the loser.
Oh, I am the rank king. Back-to-back rank king. People will start bowing to me, Hurst. So this week, we're doing movie musicals. A couple of things to get straight for our rankers before we start. Hurst and I decided between us not to include any Disney movies, because otherwise I'd just be talking about The Lion King for the next 40 minutes, and that's all you would hear.
And we also do have Disney movies as one of our future topics.
Potential topics, yes, on the Wheel of Decision.
No Disney was included. The criteria is basically any out-of-context singing at all. When I asked how many songs it needed to be, the reply was 0.1.
Exactly. Anything that takes it away from the realm of realism, such as Sister Act, where it's just nuns singing in the film, that's fine. That's not a musical. If the sisters in Sister Act had started singing about the fact that they were running away from people with guns, that would have immediately made it a musical, because you just don't sing in that situation.
It's true.
Or if people had turned up to do a magical choreographed dance number, having never heard the song before, not possible. Musical.
Fair. So those are the criteria. Let's get ranking.
Right, Hurst, we need to decide who's going to go first. How are we going to do that?
Well, I would suggest that we flip the coin of destiny.
Ah, yes, the coin of destiny. And how do we know which side of the coin means which?
Well, that's simple. Heads for Hurst, squirrels have tails.
There it is. It is heads for Hurst.
Yes. Excellent.
Kick us off, my man.
I chose in number 5, The Wizard of Oz. Now, The Wizard of Oz, for me, is in the list for its lasting impact and influence on popular culture. And the fact that it revolutionized color movies and some of the great classic quotes from there. Like, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. The Matrix, which we've both recently agreed was the greatest movie of 1999, quoted The Wizard of Oz a couple of times because it's a great example of being taken out of the real world and plunged into something new. It's got sequels, prequels, spin-offs, reboots, all sorts. It's been constantly in the public psyche since it's turned out in, 1939. With The Outrageous, it started in black and white, and then, boom, you get to Oz, and it's in colour. Which, aside from being a dazzling bit of excellence for movies at the time, it was also a great way to separate the reality from the imagination land. So the whole thing was just a brilliant idea. It had songs like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, We're Off to See the Wizard, things like Wicked, which has been one of the top performing shows on Broadway and the West End for
ever,
years and years and years, all came from the same idea. So it's just a brilliant thing. So why only at 5, I hear you ask?
Why only at 5?
The answer is because, ultimately, by modern standards, it's a load of old crap. It doesn't stand up very well at all, but it is iconic and important and has produced so many great things off the back of it that I felt I needed to include it in my list.
Right.
What about you?
My number five, Hurst, is The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Fantastic.
Oh, I love The Rocky Horror Show. It's a movie about a transsexual mad scientist who provides a sexual awakening for two squares, in inverted commas, called Brad and Janet, when they go to his castle because their car is broken down. Hey, maybe they hit a fucking great big pothole. Sorry, distracted myself. It's packed with excellent songs. It has an amazing cast. The two squares are Susan Sarandon and Barry Bostwick. Meatloaf shows up in a cameo, possibly the first time he's been in a film, and he's brilliant. And of course, Tim Curry as Dr. Frank N. Furter is just superb throughout. Admittedly, it doesn't finish as well as it started. The kind of last half hour isn't as good as the first hour, but that's just because the first hour is absolutely superb. And the music remains, like, fantastic throughout. Standout songs. Obviously, The Time Warp. Everybody knows The Time Warp. Sweet Transvestite from Transylvania is one of my favourites as well. It's still on in cinemas today because it has such a large cult following, mainly because there is a lot of audience participation in this film. So if you get the chance, go watch it. Make sure to take along your props, which are rice, a newspaper, a water pistol, a party hat, and some playing cards. If you know, you know.
Have you ever been to see it on the live show?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Did you dress up accordingly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any chance to bang stockings on?
Yeah, and it's one of those things. You leave the house wearing your stockings, you spend your basket and, like, full makeup and stuff, and you think, am I going to look stupid? And you get there, and the only people who look stupid are the people who haven't dressed up.
Well, they've dressed as Brad and Janet.
Yeah, sure.
Asshole!
Anyone who really loves Rocky Horror goes as Frank Furter or just someone who's a bit cool. My ex-brother-in-law, Dave, once went as the guy that he makes. I can't remember his name, the little gold pants.
Rocky?
Is it Rocky? Frank Furter, isn't it? Yeah. So he went as Rocky, and because he was, you know, quite fit and gym buddy and that, I was like, now that takes some balls to just turn up in gold hot pants. But yeah, you're right. Audience participation is so great. It really is a lot of fun. Good choice there.
Excellent.
So we are on to number four.
Wait, why are you already laughing?
Because, again, this might be the thing that'll lose me the week. My number fours might become my thing.
Hurst's number four chain around his neck. Let's find out.
Yeah, the anchor this week. But you know what? I stand by it. My number four is Singham.
I so thought about doing Bollywood. I thought, no. But yeah, shit. Your number four might have just taken it for you this week, Hurst, if anything.
Well, it could go either way. Yeah, I thought I'd better watch it again because I remember it being awesome. And frankly, it is. It's the absolute finest slapstick action musical of all time. It's got just some of the most ludicrous action scenes, including a point where Singham's driving his Jeep. He pulls a handbrake turn and steps out of the Jeep as it's spinning around.
Yeah.
And then he shoots the Jeep that's coming at him. And as it spins over his head, he grabs the driver from that and yanks him out of the Jeep.
Through the window. Like,
through just... I couldn't have come up with a piss take action move that was anywhere near as good as that.
No. It's superb.
He also has this outstanding, like, his finishing move. He does what I call the flying slap. Yes. And it's mostly on the forehead.
Yes.
Once or twice on the chest, but he runs up, leaps through the air, and just open palm slaps someone on the forehead. The strongest part of the head. Yeah. It just takes them down.
Oh, it sends them cartwheeling away.
And so, yeah, it's calling the bad guy is brilliant. He actually won a Hollywood Award for Best Villain. Mm. And the whole film is just greatly entertaining, considering it has subtitles, which I don't like massively. I just still really enjoyed it. It's hilarious from the off. It's got some absolutely outstanding eye acting. The camera's just looking at people and their eyes are moving around. And the whole thing is just genius, to be honest. So if you haven't seen it, I would suggest that you take time out. It's only about an hour and a half. And it's just brilliant. It does have songs in. It has dancing. It's Bollywood. Of course it does. Mm. And they are entirely out of context. And brilliant. He's the ultimate badass, but kind of a nice guy who looks after his village, falls in love with a young girl who's very immature to start with, but then decides that she wants to sing him. I don't know. It's all a bit odd, a bit surreal, but fucking brilliant. Sing him. Number four.
It's fucking brilliant. Yeah. He fights police corruption with more police corruption. It's just superb.
I'm, There is a story to it, but you don't need to worry about that so much.
Watch it for the forehead slaps.
Forehead slaps and that freaking Jeep rolling action slap down.
And the knee slide gut punch.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, I love Singham.
Number four. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent show. My number four is very different to Singham. My number four is The Muppet Christmas Carol, Hurst.
Ah, well, there we go.
Brilliant film. Henson, smashing it out. Gonzo and Rizzo tell the story of Ebenezer Scrooge from The Christmas Carol, which is a story I'm sure you know. Michael Caine does an excellent job of playing Scrooge. He's perfectly straight. He makes you believe that he's been talking to fluffy little Muppets his entire life, and it's just perfect. Kermit is Bob Cratchit. Miss Piggy is Kermit's wife. Statler and Waldorf make an excellent Jacob and Robert Marley. It's just joyful. It's just so full of fun for a film which is essentially pretty dark in a lot of places, especially for a kids movie, but pulls it upwards with general Muppet mania, and the songs are great. My favourites are One More Sleep Till Christmas and It Feels Like Christmas, because obviously it's a Christmas movie, and the Muppets, as always, are just a joy to watch.
Marley and Marley.
Exactly. Yeah. Michael Caine has said it's one of his favourite films that he's ever done. He says it was just a delight to be in from start to finish. Apparently, the people controlling the Muppets are method. So it's always the Muppets that are talking. So Michael Caine will sit down and just have a conversation with Miss Piggy. He's talking to Miss Piggy's puppeteer, but it's actually Miss Piggy who's doing the talking. It's just brilliant. Honestly, watch out for this one when we inevitably do top five Christmas movies in December, because I love it. It's just fantastic. The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah, again, really good. I'm loving all of your movies so far.
Yours too. Well, you're number three. That's rattling on.
So for number three, I chose Labyrinth.
It's because of the thing in your head.
Because of the thing in my head. Well, funnily enough, 2 days after I'd rewatched it, I got Labyrinthitis. I do wonder if there was some kind of connection there.
It must be.
It's a Jim Henson 80s masterpiece with David Bowie as the lead character, the Goblin King. It's about a young 16-year-old girl who is left to babysit for her younger brother, who is actually a baby, and he's crying, and she gets really snarky with him and really narked about the whole situation, and ultimately wishes the Goblin King would come and take the boy away. And he does.
The child.
The child. Played by a guy called Toby Froud, who is number three in the billing, even though he was a baby and was probably interchanged. I'm surprised there wasn't a bunch of twins. That's normally what babies are, these things, to get one on when he's not crying. But anyway, so the Goblin King takes Toby away, and so she has to go and try and find him in the Goblin King's palace, and that requires going through a big old labyrinth. And all the way through, there are crazy Jim Henson Muppet-style characters that either help or hinder her progress, or hinder whilst trying to help, including Ludo, the massive animal that can't really say an awful lot.
Rock friend.
Yeah, he can move the rocks and that. Then we've got Hoggle, who's kind of working for the Goblin King, but he feels bad, he's torn. And Didymus, the little fox thing that rides on his dog. He's just hilarious as well. Like, you're going the wrong way. The battle's behind you.
He sounds a bit like Wallace of Wallace and Gromit then.
I don't know if I did a good impression of either of those. But it's brilliant, and there are little songs all the way through it as well. See, you remind me of the babe. What babe? The babe with power. What power? The power of the voodoo. You do what? Remind me of the babe. It's classic. I really like the ones with the little fire demons as well, and taking their heads off. And it's just a bonkers festival of weirdness, and I think probably the sexual awakening for many a young teenage girl or lad.
Yes.
Because David Bowie wears extraordinarily tight-fitting leggings, which are not really doing anything to hide or subtly imply anything.
Yes, not particularly suitable for a kid's movie.
They are. His junk is there. His junk is there for all to see. It's just a great film. It's not super long, but it's got good songs. It's got amazing characters. It's quite a cool story. And yeah, Jennifer Connelly was Sarah, and that was her first movie. Not a bad one to land opposite David Bowie. So for me, number three is Labyrinth.
My number three is Little Shop of Horrors. Actually, in researching this episode, I discovered that Little Shop of Horrors is a remake of a 1960 film. And if I'd have known that last week, it may well have ended up on my list, because I love Little Shop of Horrors. It's all about a florist called Seymour Crowborn, who's played by Rick Moranis. Remember him, folks? He discovers a new breed of plant that feeds on blood. And the movie's about the lengths he'll go to feed it and help it grow as it brings him fame and the attention of his co-worker, Audrey Ellen Green. He names the plant Audrey 2 after her, and she hits a squeak which is so high-pitched I think only your dogs can really hear it properly, Hurst.
I gave it my own name, though. I call it an Audrey 2.
After me?
I hope you don't mind.
Yeah, I didn't hear it when I watched it.
If you have the subtitles, maybe it just says squeak. I'd love it. Actually, I might go and look that up. But as a cameo, Steve Martin as the dentist and Bill Murray as his patient are just amazing. And the Motown-inspired songs, bangers from start to finish. Particularly, I like Some Fun Now, Suddenly Seymour, and the famous one, which is...
Maybe Seymour!
Well, there you are, that one. Thank you, Hurst. That's Audrey 2. Audrey 2, the plant, can actually sing as well and talk and move around and completely steals the show as the talking man-eating plant, because it's an animatronic and it's excellent animatronics. To make it move fast enough, because it's so big, they had to film it in slow motion and then speed it back up to normal speed to make it look like it was going faster, which means anytime you see Rick Moranis in the shot with the plant, he's walking or moving really slowly and doing all his actions in slow motion because they need to speed him up as well. So there you are. Quick fun fact about Little Shop of Horrors, which is just brilliant. And I love it to bits.
Great fact. Right, so my number two, this was close because it was very nearly my number one, but I had to go with my heart in the end. I went with The Sound of Music.
Interesting take. Let's hear it, Hurst.
So The Sound of Music is a film about the war and how it impacted a family in Austria. The father of the seven von Trapp children, his wife had passed away. He was a captain on a ship, and he therefore ran his house like a ship, like a military man would. So the children were organized using whistles and so on. And at the same time, there was a nun who wanted to be a nun since she was young, because she heard them singing. But she's not a very good nun because she's too full of song and joy, and she's too much of a free spirit. So the nun, the head nun, whatever they're called, the Queen of the Nuns.
Mother Superior.
The Mother Superior. There we go. Thanks for my religious, Malcolm.
No worries.
The Mother Superior says, you're going to have to go and be governess at this place. You know, get out in the world, do some stuff there. So she turns up to this rigid household, and she just brings joy and music with her and teaches the children how to be children and play. And Captain George disapproves of her methods, but she slowly wins him round. But as the Nazis storm into Austria, he refuses to bow to them, and... it's a really important story of the time that still holds up now. Visually, the whole film is stunning because the Austrian Alps make the whole background. As Squirrel was saying with the Little Shop of Horrors, the animatronics, this was pre-special effects.
Pre-CGI.
Yeah, okay, pre-CGI, but there wasn't a lot in the way of special effects anyway. It was mostly singing, the acting, the backdrop of it. And it's just excellently done how the characters changed over the course of it. And as someone who hadn't seen it as a child growing up, first time I watched it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago when we used to do classic Sundays. I watched it not expecting an awful lot, and I thought it was fantastic. It is long. It's, I think, the best part of 3 hours, so it's not easy to watch over and over again. But if you're having a hungover Sunday, for those of us who have hangovers, it's actually quite a good one to have on. And it brought us classic songs that, again, you learn as a kid and are still used all over the place now. So The Hills Are Alive, How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria, I Am 16 Going on 17, My Favourite Things, Do Re Mi, Edelweiss, So Long Farewell.
Did you say Edelweiss?
No, I said Edelweiss.
Right, not Edelweiss. Okay.
Not Edelweiss. That's a different top five.
Let us know, Patreon.
Or bottom five. yeah, so it's still great after 60 years. It's aged brilliantly because it didn't try to be too clever, and I think that's possibly where things like Oz fell down. They were pushing the limits of special effects, which then naff later on. But watching it again this week, it's like, you know what, this is still a great film. The only thing that's keeping it off number two is that I've got an outstanding, amazing number one, and that it is a little bit too long. So for me, number two, The Sound of Music.
All right, so my number two, controversial, Hurst. Bit of a debate about whether this is actually a movie or not, as it's essentially Or it was originally an internet-only miniseries that was released in three parts, and it's only 42 minutes long. But it calls them acts 1, 2, and 3, not episodes, so I'm treating it as a film. And it's released on DVD, they've all been mushed together. So it's a film. It is Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. Now.
Yes, I can hear the votes pouring in now, mate.
Come on, Malks. Come on, nerdy Malks, because I know you all love this bloody thing. During the writer's strike of 2008, Joss Whedon, who we all used to love but now we all have to hate him, got together with his acting and writing buddies and made Dr. Horrible for something to do during the writer's strike because, you know, they weren't doing any work. Basically, it involves Dr. Horrible, who is a villain in a kind of superhero supervillain world. He's only a normal villain. He wants to be a supervillain. He wants to get into the Evil League of Evil, which is led by Bad Horse, which is just a horse. He also wants to get it on with Penny, who's played by Felicia Day. Did I mention that Dr. Horrible is played by Neil Patrick Harris off of How I Met Your Mother and Doogie Howser?
No, you didn't.
Well, he is. Anyway, Felicia Day plays Penny, and she's a lovely lady, and Dr. Horrible sees her once a week when he does his laundry in his alter ego, his disguise as a normal guy called Billy. He gets a chance to try out for the Evil League of Evil and plots to steal a case of Wonderflonium for a freeze wave he is making. He uses this little gadget to radio control the van that's carrying the Wonderflonium, but Penny shows up collecting for donations for a homeless shelter and it puts him off, and his arch enemy, Captain Hammer, shows up, superbly played by Nathan Fillion off of Castle and off of Firefly. Captain Hammer smashes the remote control gadget, the van goes out of control, it's careering towards Penny, but Captain Hammer saves her at the last moment, and because of this, Captain Hammer and Penny get together, and Dr. Horrible is like, oh no! Basically, that's the first act, and sets up the rest of the film. Dr. Horrible is trying to not only use his freeze ray to get into the Evil League of Evil, but also to split up Penny and Captain Hammer. It's funny. It's really funny.
I have to admit, it sounds brilliant. I really want to watch it now. I mocked it initially because I hadn't heard of it, but that sounds great.
Only 42 minutes, Hurst. You could have watched it. We've been recording this shit for 54 minutes already. You could have watched it by now. The songs are great. Particularly a song called Bad Horse, as a song called Brand New Day, when he's going to give Penny the keys to a shiny new Australia. Brilliant. And So They Say is another one that I like. It's a brilliant film. The ending is fantastic, and it just goes to show that you don't need a huge budget. This was made for $200,000 of Joss Whedon's own money, and it's superb.
Why do we hate Joss Whedon now?
Oh, he was not a very nice person to the younger ladies on his sets.
I'm
afraid so. I don't think he was... This is all allegedly. I don't think he was mean to them rather than trying to bang them, I think. He's still a brilliant writer, obviously. Can't deny that. But yeah, he did something superb here with Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. So there we are. Number two.
I would love to investigate that.
Oh, yeah.
So... this brings us to a pause in the top five as we turn our ire to the worst movie musical of all time.
Yes, indeed. What do you think it is, Hurst?
Well, after your scathing indictment of the remake of Dirty Dancing last week, I felt it was important that I investigated that.
Oh, you foolish, foolish man.
Prior to this... I really disliked Grease. I didn't enjoy any of it at all, so that was where I was going to go. But I did, in fact, watch the remake of Dirty Dancing, which was bad. It was everything you said it was, bad.
Yeah.
But then the next morning, within 12 hours of having watched that, I watched the original just because I needed to get an update on that in my head because I'd only watched that once 6 years ago or whatever. Mm. And it's so good. And it's everything that the remake isn't.
Yes, it is.
They've got amazing chemistry.
Yes.
You believe in them. The whole thing is fab, and it's not a musical, and it doesn't need to be a musical.
No.
And it was only in the context. It's only in the context of watching the original can you truly appreciate how full-on ghastly the remake is, how flat and poorly cast and uninspiring, and most importantly, entirely unnecessary it was to remake.
Yep.
So with that, I mean, we also started watching the first half of South Pacific because Carly loved that growing up, and I just wasn't on board with it, didn't really like it very much. But I think for the fact that that's an older film, and at its time was great, and it wasn't copying anything. Same with Grease. Like, it's popular with a lot of people. I don't get it. I think it's cack. But ultimately, yeah, Dirty Dancing remake has taken that spot for me. I absolutely back everything you said about it last week and double down on it, frankly. Ghastly.
Ghastly. That's an excellent word to describe the tripe that is also, of course, my number one choice for worst musical. Hey, I chose it as worst remake. It's also worst musical. Sound the horn.
Yeah. It's not a surprise. I'm glad I got a chance to talk about how much I hate it as well.
I'm not going to do it again. If you want to hear me rip the shit out of Dirty Dancing remake, go and listen to last week's episode. It's just terrible. And the worst thing about this is now that one of the songs from that film is playing in the background of this for longer than it needs to be. So let's move swiftly on, Hurst. Stop that shit.
Let's do it.
With our number one. Let's have it.
My number one is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Oh. It is a musical version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It is only called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory because it was sponsored by Quaker Oats, who were promoting a new chocolate called Wonka Bar at the time. So they called it Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Excellent fact.
But that's good because it separates it from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which was a remake, which was absolutely unnecessary and god-awful. Which could have been in the musical remakes of God Awful as well. It just wasn't as bad as Dirty Dancing. That was Johnny Depp coming in and just overacting the weirdness of Wonka. What you have in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is, frankly, a Brothers Grimm-esque fairy tale. It's a children's movie, but it's terrifying. And it's got a great quote in it, which is when Wonka quotes Arthur O'Shaughnessy saying, "We are the music makers and we are the dreamers of dreams." And that is a beautiful encapsulation of how the whole thing is a bit of an acid trip, as far as I can tell. It's just wild. So the idea of the story, for anyone that hasn't seen it, is Willy Wonka is this crazy, isolated chocolatier, and he has this great big factory, and he produces the best chocolate in all the world, and everyone else wishes they could make chocolate as good as his, but they can't. And then he decides, after no one's seen him for decades, that he is going to put 5 golden tickets out there in chocolate bars of his around the world, which is a great marketing ploy, because frankly, everyone goes bonkers for him. And the main character, Charlie Bucket, comes from a very poor family, can't afford to buy chocolate, so he has to save up whilst everyone else is having 100, 200 bars. He's only able to get hold of one, and then he finds a coin. And eventually, Captain, long story short, he gets to go on this tour of the factory with 4 other kids and their guardians, and it is brutal. These are all horrible people. So the idea behind it is, don't be greedy, don't be selfish. All the morals, but basically, I mean, I don't want to say he's killing the kids off because he says they're all going to be fine, but you never see him again. So as they go around this chocolate factory making bad decisions.
Some of them are definitely not going to be fine. Even if they survive, they're not going to be okay, psychologically or physically.
It is a little bit horrifying. And even at the start, when Charlie Bucket is looking through the gates on his way home, this weird old cleaner comes up behind him and he says, "Nobody ever goes in, nobody ever comes out." And then just wheels his trolley away. It's like, fucking hell, he's terrifying, and that's just kicking things off. "The suspense is terrible. I hope it lasts." That's a classic Wonka quote when they're on the trip boat from hell, going through the trip tunnel from hell, and everyone else is feeling sick and getting really scared. The whole thing is just mad. Songs there, though, include "The Candyman Can," "I've Got a Golden Ticket," "Pure Imagination," which is beautiful, and all the Oompa Loompa songs. And of course, Violet Beauregard, Veruca Salt, and her "I Want the World, I Want the Whole World. I want to lock it all up in a pocket. It's my bar of chocolate. Give it to me. No, now." Just, they've all got these fab songs. It's even when they're at school, the teacher, I can't do it justice talking about it now. If you haven't seen the original Gene Wilder, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, you need to watch it. You need to put time in your diary to watch the madness that is that. It was before you weren't allowed to scare children. It's a children's film, and it's horrifying, but just brilliant. I watched it as a child and it was scary, but you kept wanting to go back for more. So, yes, that's it for me. It's not filled with famous people apart from Gene Wilder. So there we go. Have you seen it?
Yes, long time ago. But yes, I have seen this one. Yeah. Cool. So I'm ready for my fact and estimated fact.
Well, there you go.
Prepped.
Fact. The chocolate river was made from real chocolate, cream, and 150,000 gallons of water.
Jesus.
Fact. Michael Bulmer, who played Augustus Gloop that fell in said river, ran for Chancellor of Germany in 1998, but was beaten by Gerhard Schroeder.
Interesting. I can't fathom that the river could be real because of the or even close to real because of the horrific amount of stuff they would need to spend money on rather than brown food dye and water. So I'm going to say that Child tried to become the German Chancellor.
Fact, the chocolate river was made from real chocolate,
fuck
cream,
me,
and 150,000 gallons of water.
Cream would have just gone off and been gross
what
as hell.
Gigantic waste of money, exactly as you said. Just brown chocolate, brown dye water would have done the job and lasted better. But yeah, I guess they wanted it to taste nice when he was scooping it out with his big clunky hands.
It wouldn't have tasted nice because it's been under studio lights for a week. It's not like they just set it up that morning.
They might have done. I mean, he did drink out of it. He had to.
God.
And then he did fall in it.
Poor little bear. Yeah.
But no, he didn't run for Chancellor. I don't think he acted in anything else afterwards, but...
I continue to be terrible at fact versus estimated fact, whilst you continue to be great. I'm glad that's not what we base the top five rankings on.
Not winning a lot else.
All right. It's not the fucking X Factor. Don't give us your sob story to try and get more votes. Do
yeah,
not.
I had labyrinthitis this week. I've been feeling really poorly.
I had a puncher.
I had to go to bed early because I was feeling so poorly.
You're not going to win hers.
No.
Do you know why? Because of my number one.
Go on.
My number one, for anyone that knows me, is very obvious because the two main characters are stuck on the wall in my living room in portrait form. It is the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
My brother is 6 years older than me, and he loved the Blues Brothers. So when I watched it with him at an entirely too young age, I loved the Blues Brothers too. For anyone that hasn't seen it, A, come on now, and B, Jake and Elwood are grown-up orphans who need to save the Blessed Shroud Orphanage, which is a Catholic orphanage that they grew up in, and it needs $5,000 to pay their property tax. Now, Jake Blues, who is one of the Blues Brothers, played by John Belushi, potentially in his last film before he died, I think it is, he says, no problem, we'll get it for you in the morning, because he's a criminal, he's just got out of prison. And Kathleen Turner, who plays the Mother Superior, called the Penguin in the film, she's like, I'm not taking your stolen money. So instead, they decide to put the band back together, the Blues Brothers Band, and do a concert and earn the money for it that way. They are, Hurst, on a mission from God. It's so freaking good. It started as a Saturday Night Live sketch because Dan Aykroyd loved blues music and he got John Belushi into it as well, and they just started being the Blues Brothers on Saturday Night Live. From that came this entire movie. It features basically blues music royalty. You've got people like Aretha Franklin, Ray Charles, James Brown, Cab Calloway, John Lee Hooker, and the Blues Brothers Band, Christ, Steve McConnell Cropper, Donald Duck Dunn, Murph Doom, Willie Two Big Hall, Tom Bones Malone, Blue Lou Martini, Matt Guitar Murphy, and who have I forgotten? Mr. Fabulous, Alan Rubin, who plays the trumpet. It's just a list of incredibly talented people, and they all get to sing in the film, and it's just brilliant. They have a magical car called the Bluesmobile, which is an ex-police car which can fly almost. It's not quite Chitty Chitty Bang Bang's level of ridiculous, but it does do so. Excellent stuff. Surviving most of this film, for starters. It's just nuts. It's funny. It's good. They're clearly all off their tits. The film had a literal cocaine budget. Carrie Fisher, who was in the film, has no memory of being in it whatsoever. While coked off his tits one night, John Belushi vanished during one of the night shoots, and Dan Aykroyd saw the only house nearby with lights on, went and knocked on the door before he even said anything. The guy was like, you're here for John Belushi, aren't you? Who had apparently turned up, asked if he could have some milk and a sandwich, and then fallen asleep on their sofa just off his tits.
Brilliant. Is it a musical, though?
Yes. Yes, it is. I have a long-running debate with noted idiot of the show, Craster, about whether or not The Blues Brothers is a musical. I contend it is, Hurst, for two reasons. Number one, when they go to Ray's Music Exchange, he starts playing a song which people outside can inexplicably hear. Number two, the song Think by Aretha Franklin is all about what's actually going on in the film at that moment, and actually ends with the line of, you want to go with the Blues Brothers, hey. So it's a fucking musical. She's singing about what's happening, which doesn't happen in real life.
For my own wanting to win, I would side with Crasher that it isn't, but every time I did a search on what are the best movie musicals,
it was Idiot.
It came up on there, so you can't argue with that.
Crasher and I developed a plan on how to find out what the actual answer was, because we have literally been arguing about this for decades, and we had a chance to go to some event about Crystal Skull Vodka, which of course is made by Dan Aykroyd, and Dan Aykroyd was going to be there, and we met him, and we decided that we were going to ask Dan Aykroyd, he's one of the goddamn Blues Brothers, and if he says it is a musical, it is, and if he says it isn't, and that was going to be the definitive answer. We got drunk and we forgot to go. So,
idiots.
It continues. It's not a mystery because it's a goddamn musical. A quick shout out to Frank Oz, who was in Blues Brothers as a prison warden. He directed Little Shop of Horrors and he played Kermit in Muppet's Christmas Carol. So he's had a really good showing on my list. Good job, Frank Oz.
Hello, Frank.
Woods, you like a fact and an estimated fact about the Blues Brothers?
I would very much like that, yeah.
Here we go. Fact. This is the most profitable movie that started as a Saturday Night Live sketch. It made over $115 million in 1980 from a budget of $27.5 million. Or, fact, during filming, James Brown got separated from the vehicle caravan somehow and drove the Bluesmobile 100 miles in the wrong direction up Interstate 80. When he stopped at a gas station for directions, he was arrested by the local police because he had no registration for the car because the number plate on the car was a movie prop and he didn't have a valid driver's license.
I don't know what films have come from Saturday Night Live, to be honest. I couldn't say whether it is or not. I'm going to suggest the fact that they had this crazy budget, and it's the kind of thing that's likely to have happened, also supports the second part of it. You know what? I think something else probably has done better from Saturday. This is a good one.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to say that the fact is that it's the most successful thing from Saturday Night Live.
I have tricked you at last, Hurst.
Damn it.
Wayne's World is the most successful thing from Saturday Night Live. This was, and then Wayne's World came out and took it over. Yeah, the fact is that James Brown got separated from the vehicle caravan and drove the Bluesmobile 100 miles in the wrong direction. Why the fuck was James Brown driving the Bluesmobile? Like, what sort of rinky-dink production has James goddamn Brown, the godfather of soul, driving the star car? What's going on?
I would imagine James Brown wanted to drive the Bluesmobile.
Oh, maybe. Maybe he should have driven it in the right direction.
And who was going to say no to the godfather of soul? So there we go. That's our top five movie musicals of all time.
Yes, indeed.
So who's right?
You decide, rankers. Visit our website, top5faceoff.co.uk, and vote for your winner. Will it be Hurst? Will it be Squirrel? Ooh.
And don't let my extreme vulnerability in any way sway your vote.
Fix it. Yeah, literally don't. If you hate those bits on The X Factor and Britain's Got Talent and all that tripe, vote Squirrel. While we're here, we need to say a big thank you to our Patreon trooper. This week's subject was his choice. So here you are, trooper. Oh. I hope you're happy with one of us. Of course you'll be happy with one of us, because one of us is correct.
And shouldn't we do a full-on shout-out to our top-level Patreons as well?
Yes, indeed. We want to shout-out to the official supporter club, our Patreons, who pay us that little bit extra to get their name read out on the podcast each week. They are Ross Taylor and Dav Paz. Thanks, guys.
You guys are heroes.
Absolutely true.
Paving the way for everyone.
Indeed. So we've had one Patreon choice for this week. Shall we find out what we're going to talk about next week, Hurst?
Let's do that.
How do we do that, Hurst?
It's the Wheel of Decisions, isn't it?
Let's spin the Wheel of Decision. Do you see anything on there that takes your fancy? Some new things have appeared, Hurst. We have top five wrestlers, top five finger foods. Anything else you'd like the look of?
Snack Staff with Beer might be quite good fun. And obviously, I always say our TV theme tunes. I'm looking forward to that
one. Still waiting for that one to come in. Well, let's find out if this week is the week. Shall I spin the wheel, Hurst?
Spin it.
Spin. Round it goes. Oh, it's very close.
The line.
It is just to the left of the line, Hurst. So it is...
90s video games.
All right, so 90s video games will be the podcast of choice next week.
Excellent.
What else do we talk about at this point, Ast?
Give us your money, tell your friends, rewind the video. Love you, bye.
That'll do. Bye, Rankers.
Love you, bye.
Top 5 Face-Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Let's spill the wheel of decision.
I thought you said spear it. It's like, wow.
Fucking didn't say anything English, did I?
A new way of deciding.
And inexplicably do a huge choreographed dance too, which just isn't possible in real life. And someone's tired. Which dog was that?
I'm trying to stop him from scratching at the door.
It's just Doug. I'm busy telling people why Craster is wrong.
The hills are alive.
Feed me some more. No, don't sing. Fuck.
Just had my tea, but I've got some water as well.
Good, good. Need to keep ourselves sounding pimp. Fuck me, we've got the first outtake already. We haven't even started.
Determining the top 5 movie musicals of all time is subjective and depends on various factors such as critical acclaim, popularity, cultural impact,
Gemini.
And personal preference.
I didn't
However, based on the information...
Shut up! I didn't even ask. Well, I mean, I did, but I didn't ask you.
Let's get on with it. Let's have a chat about last week when we did Remoots. Fuck me.
These older films don't have all the special effects. They had to really work on it. Parents. I'll have to call them back.
Fuck, I dropped on the floor. Oh, man. I'm messing this up. Now I've lost the coin of destiny. Oh, legitimately, where did it go?
Top quality podcasting.
Oh, there it is. It was in my shoe. Oh, fuck, I dropped it again.
You'll get that.
I will.
Sister Act sold seashells on the seashore.
I'm gonna nail this. Let's go. You watch.
All right.
My little cup of water here.
Okay. All right.
If the sisters in Sister Act had started singing about the fact that they were running away from people with guns.
Top 5 Face Off.